Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell couldn't be with us today, but we do have Ben Martig in, Northfield's City Administrator, to discuss events of last night's City Council meeting. Ben, good morning. Thank you so much for coming in.
Good morning, Jeff.
Let's talk about last night's Council meeting. Just three items on the regular agenda, a number of items on the consent agenda. Anything you'd like to mention about the consent agenda or presentations before you before we get into the regular agenda?
Yeah, well, I'd like to start it off. Just, we did have a presentation with a recognition for our municipal identification program that the city has. So we have Lucy Gonzalez Marón and Mar Valdecantos were at the meeting to present the award. It was the award really is a piece of art recognizing the city efforts for advancing rights for all, especially caring about our immigrant communities. Many of the cities have approached Northfield inquiring about the process, about having our own identification cards and the implementation. We're still the only city in Minnesota that has that, but I don't have the description of the artwork that was done, but it was kind of an embossed metal piece of art that a Minnesota immigrant provides to legislators who are really advancing the rights and recognition of the value that the immigrants, new immigrants to our community really bring to Minnesota, provide workforce and other things. And so that recognition was presented and really, I think, was appreciated by the city and by others for that recognition.
Has that been, do you know how many ID cards we have out there? I haven't seen one yet, but
We're in the hundreds. Okay. I'm trying to remember exactly where we're at, Jeff, but it's been pretty successful, and we're in our new renewal of that right now happening. Oh. So with kind of a refresh of that, and we'll be reissuing those cards, but it's been certainly appreciated by those who have used them.
Good. Let's move on to the regular agenda then. First of all, the West Riverwalk entrance improvements, the final concept plan, was considered last night. What's the West Riverwalk entrance improvements? Where's the West Riverwalk?
We have a trouble of coming up with a name for this location.
Is this just right across the...
Yeah, it's the west side of the river, Highway 3 and 3rd parking area, right next to Basil's, I guess, where the city had done a redevelopment, acquired a property there for a number of years ago. We had been taking a look at that, and the council a couple of years ago had said, you know, is there anything we can do to freshen that up and maybe do some work in there? And kind of once you open that can up a little bit and take a closer look with the dirt work and the grading, it really doesn't technically meet our handicap standards related to grading right now. And so we really worked on doing some concept plans to not only provide good accessibility, but also enhancing it so that that particular location, it's kind of the window into the Riverwalk, I guess, with Highway 3 and 3rd landscaping improvements. And so it was really intended to be kind of a gateway into the Riverwalk. So we wanted to do it well. So we had a consultant help us with taking a look about how do we draw people in to that area. So looking at decorative concrete, some vertical elements related to signage or like maybe a piece of art to draw people's eye in kind of right by the sidewalk, landscaping, some place for art as you move through, able to work in a little bit of a future a place where Basil's along the building could also have outdoor dining available, which we know continues to be very popular amongst the public to have that. And so... really kind of set the groundwork. The council approved the concept plan for the Riverwalk entrance. Certainly this is kind of a conceptual phase. It pretty well lays out kind of how it's planned to be designed, but does leave some flexibility related to wayfinding, what exactly is the plant materials. There was some interest in maybe adding some lighting ability so that Christmas lights could be added to really brighten it up in the holiday season. So council ultimately approved that. It had been a long process. We did a lot of engagement of the public, and I think it. We're kind of parking it probably for now. We're doing a flood study, hoping that might open up some funding through the federal government, possibly with the flood wall, to maybe build in some outside funds or possibly some parks grants as we do this regional designation of our park. It might open us up to some opportunities too to leverage some local dollars before we commit to doing that. And the flood study also might change the elevation slightly. So we're kind of letting that play out for now. But I think overall excited about what could be done with that entrance.
Are we looking at 2020 or 2022 for a year that will be implemented?
I would say probably not. I would say we'd probably be discussing it next year related to the capital planning. We are going to be doing some overall parks planning, including the River Corridor, and we're actually start kicking off here some engagement with the community around Bridge Square and getting feedback. So it'll probably be a prioritization of some of these different parks and pieces that this will be added into that mix as we go forward.
All right. Once again, City Administrator Ben Martig is with us. There were two other items on the regular agenda last night, and they're related. They both have to do with the Greenvale School, Lincoln Parkway, the vehicle traffic in that corridor, and also the consideration of the preliminary plat for Craywood. The Craywood addition was discussed. Let's start off with the traffic congestion. What was discussed, and what were there any actions taken?
Yeah, certainly through the Craywood development project, one of the large concerns we've heard is Lincoln Parkway, just as it relates to the design, what they're experiencing out there currently with Greenvale School. We know that there have been a couple of formal documented crossing guard violations this school year. There's been anecdotally provided more examples of near misses, I guess, of potential violations. Perception of higher vehicle speeds might even be during that non-school peak time. Congestion gets pretty high through there during that kind of half-hour window of pickup and or drop-off, but particularly pickup of vehicles. We're also seeing vehicles with the staging lines into the Greenvale School backing up onto Lincoln Parkway, and that's causing some issues with people trying to get around, people who are trying to go through that area. So based on that feedback, certainly Craywood identified some of those concerns, but we also knew that this is an existing condition that we need to take a look at. And so we've been working with the school district, our city staff, our engineer, our police chief, our community development planning, have been meeting to basically brainstorm, is there anything we can do late in the year here to do some temporary improvements to kind of what's going on? But there's a couple of planning pieces that have been planned. First of all, when Greenvale School was approved, we knew that with COVID going on, there was a lot of uncertainty about exactly what would happen with the traffic flow. Before it was constructed, we also had questions about how will it actually function when it's out there. So it was a conditional approval with a look-back requirement where there would be a new traffic study looked at that the school would initiate to kind of evaluate how it was working. That's coming up. That was planned for 2022, and we're gearing up for that. The city also, based on the council concerns with the conditions, we have initiated plans for bringing in our own independent consultant. We're going to be looking at really design through that corridor. How do we really put pedestrians and biking first on safety, and also deal with safe flow of traffic in and out related to that corridor? It's going to require a little bit more of a broader look, because when you have so many different things going on, buses, bikes, walkers, single occupancy vehicles with kids in them to drop off, you really need to take a comprehensive look at what you want to do for design before you kind of start putting improvements in. Because if you add bike lanes as an example, and then you put bump outs in some areas, we got to think about how we do the design of that. But so we had a pretty robust discussion about that last night, and there's a few things we're doing immediately. The dynamic speed signs are going to be relocated from the former Longfellow School, the district office, since there aren't younger children actively there now. It's the alternative school location. We're going to move those over. We tried to do it earlier this year, and we couldn't get a contractor to do it, but we're really pushing to try and get those moved over. Have that. Adding additional no parking, including identification through signage and painting around the crosswalks to provide more setbacks so there's better visibility around the crosswalks. Also putting no parking several hundred feet or 100 or so feet back from the entrance to the Greenvale School. On the school side, we've had people kind of staging there where they park and then go up to the school. But with the backup of traffic, we'd almost like to see that temporarily work more as a is a turn lane for them. So the vehicles will be able to kind of move off as they go to a right turn to go in there. And hopefully that will help with the free flow through that area. We're going to be doing some formal traffic data counts, putting some speed counters that will track speeds, number of vehicles. And it won't be the police identification sign that can impact. Part of the purpose of having that identification sign out where drivers can see it, it's to change behavior, and it's very effective at reducing speeds for short term. So we don't want that to be a bias. So we're going to be looking at different types of counters to be put in there to get more mm-hmm. accurate data as we go into that planning stage. The school district's doing some things too, looking at possibly doing some contract parking for the larger days that they might have events for staffing. So in the area, taking a look at, are there any partner organizations where they might be able to do that? And then based on some of the council feedback too, they added some additional things. So they gave a direction to staff to do a couple other things. One would be to add plastic delineators to basically create a temporary bump out at those key crossings along Lincoln where we have crosswalks. And we had those on Washington Street kind of as a demonstration project before mm-hmm. we put the bump outs in. Just to give more warning, hopefully speed down the vehicles and allow the staging area out there a little bit more as the kids and the crossing guards go in there, or when the crossing guards aren't there, additional kind of drawing attention for vehicles. And then the last piece would be to look at pedestrian activated flashing kind mm-hmm. of signs. What options are there to come back to the council to consider that? So that would be an engineer thing to take a look to see if there are any things they can do temporarily. That might mean yet this year, that might be in early 2022 if there are some issues with weather dependent. But mm-hmm. we had a very robust discussion of the council. We did appreciate having Superintendent Dr. Hillman was there, as well as principal from Greenville, Sam Richardson, giving some perspectives and as it relates to what they're observing and supporting with the city on some of these improvements.
All right, we got to move on. The Craywood addition was discussed last night. The folks from Northfield Shed, the neighborhood folks there, were out in full force and had a lot of people speaking. In the end, though, the preliminary plat was approved. I have that correct?
Yes, that's right. The preliminary plat, which kind of outlines the lots, the road connections, was approved last evening, came with a recommendation from the Planning Commission. So with that, again, we got the site would consist of 22 single-family homes, 2 twin homes, 1 fourplex, an apartment complex as well that would be part of that project. So the preliminary plat would move on to future phases, I guess, now to take a look at a number of other issues. There was some discussion about whether or not to dedicate park was probably one of the particular areas of focus last night. The city code outlines dedication of park, and there's a calculation that's done on that with the smaller parcel, infill parcel like this. It's a pretty small piece of property, but the council did request to take the recommendation of the park board to include dedication of park with the project that would basically provide some public property that could be used for park purposes within the interior of the site. And that was moved forward as well. The council did include that provision to have that within that. This basically would, the preliminary plat really kind of lays out a lot of the standards of our code. And I think there's a lot of discussion of council on that is in many ways, if you meet the conditions, basically our rule book with the city, with the land development code and compliance with our comprehensive plan, if you meet the requirements, the preliminary plat pretty much needs to be mm-hmm. Approved. And so the council did authorize that last meeting and moves on to future approvals will be coming forward in the future related to that project.
You know, Rich and I were talking earlier this morning about density and having developments that have more occupancy has been a priority of the council. Has that come about during your time here? Did that happen before? Do you know the history of that very much? Or
yeah, it was back in 2008. It's really taken a lot more focus in Minnesota and nationally lately. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of news media coverage about Minneapolis, about changing their zoning code to allow more mixed uses and to go away from pure separation of like single family housing districts. Northfield made major changes to that, you know, way before this was something that was becoming popular. And so that was done back in 2008. So all of the new growing residential areas, and then there's, this is one unique one where it's an infill site, has what we call the N2 zoning, where it allows, it allows and actually encourages in our comprehensive plan to do a mixed densities, as you talked about. And then it does also allow for commercial serving residential. So you could have, you know, in some new growth areas, if there's an apartment building, you could have, say, on the main level of the apartment complex, you know, a small sandwich shop, or, you know, a small, you know, food, grocer goods, those kinds of things, to try and encourage to make it accessible for some of those types of things. Now, where the balance of putting those to practice come into play is as it relates to kind of how does it fit in with their surrounding neighborhoods as it relates to, you know, to size and scaling of it, is where it gets a little nuanced, particularly around infill sites like this one. Most of those new residential areas with that designation are probably going to be on new developments, which make it a little cleaner when you're starting with a fresh palette to kind of come up with something before people are living there. But we have kind of surrounding existing features that make it a little bit more nuanced, and certainly has been a focus, a draw of interest to the Craywood, as some people have raised concerns about just how big they say the apartment complex is, or how much mass there is with it.
And one final question, what is the next step in the process for the Craywood development?
Well, the next step that will be on our agenda will be in November, the first meeting in November. We'll have a public hearing around basically tax assistance on the project that would basically capture the new tax value for the apartment complex only, to help make that cash flow to include some affordable housing provisions and some sustainable design components of that, as well as the underground parking, providing some financial assistance in order to make that project work within the overall project area. That's more of a legislative decision of the city council. It's different than the platting, and we do have policies and criteria around that. So the public will be invited to give their testimony on that. There might or might not be action scheduled that evening. The agreements are still being drafted, so there's a good likelihood it would only be the hearing without any formal action scheduled that evening.
All right. Ben Martig, thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jeff.
All right. It's Ben Martig, Northfield City Administrator. We've got Rich standing by. Local news coming up in just a moment or so. Tim McNiff, news with a side of sports on the way.
As we get